This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
When the neighbors first moved in, I'm the one who built the fence. I'm the kind who can hold out her hand if I know my line of defense. We are living in interesting times. The sky falls every day, and I used to think my fence could make the world go away. But this morning, all I know is I wanna fall down and cry. This morning, I don't need my fence. I need my neighbor on the other side. I've seen my neighbor with her children in the morning, driving them to school. And I've seen her play a game in the driveway. She knows how to sit and bend a rule. And I don't know that much about her, but I dropped in and we talked at her store. And each time I come away wanting to know a little bit more. And this morning, all I know is I wanna fall down and cry. This morning, I don't need my fence. I need my neighbor on the other side. I'm not the first one to a protest, and I'm the last one with a sign. And I mostly want to be left in peace to make my pretty designs. And I don't know from trade agreements, I don't understand all I hear. But I wasn't certain when the neighbors moved in, and now I am glad they are here. And this morning, all I know is I want to fall down and cry. This morning, I don't need my I need my neighbor on the other side.
My Fence and My Neighbor is the name of Cozy Sheridan's most recent album, came out in April. And Cozy is here with Charlie Koch. Happy to have you here in the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Good friend of the Folk Show. Now, tell us a little bit about the origin of that song, could you?
Sure. In January 2017, right around the time, right after the inauguration, Charlie had gone skiing out west, and I was alone in Maynard, and I'd been living there about a year and a half. I really hadn't gotten to know people, and the house next door to us had a family that had moved into it about, 6 or 8 months previously, and when they'd been moving in, Charlie had called me one day and said, "You know, that house has been empty next to us for so long. Somebody's looking at it. They're both recently divorced. They're a new couple, and together they have 5 teenagers." And I said to him, "You know, we were thinking about putting up a fence between our driveways. Maybe now would be a good time." And we did. And so these nice people move in, and there's a fence there. And so getting to know them was a little more awkward because I'd stuck a fence up. You know, that was me who did it. I was the woman who put the fence up. And they're fabulous people. We've ended up loving them, of course, as neighbors. But that day, I didn't know them that well. I was starting to get to know the woman better, but I still didn't know her that well. And I was feeling very sort of isolated and alone in Maynard, Massachusetts, where I didn't know a lot of people. And I was the world was feeling like it was changing into a sort of a more dangerous places. Everybody was angry, and there was, you know, it was just frightening. So I wrote the song really just out of a feeling of, I wish I knew my neighbor better.
It's done really well on the folk DJ charts, too. It's getting a lot of play all around the country.
It did really well, yeah. And we made a video, actually. We made our first, I call it my first big girl video. Somebody filmed it for us. A guy named Neil Eckstein does great videos. And he came to our house. And so my neighbor was in the video. I called her up and I said, you know, we're going to make a video. And she said, okay. And she was willing to be in it. So she walks out of her house and I'm dragging my trash can down our driveway, and our driveways are right next to each other. And so at the beginning of the video, you see us seeing each other. And then we sing it, and we go to her. She's a resale shop in downtown in Maynard. So we go down, and she shows me, you know, thrift store dresses. And so anyway, it was fun. And a lot of people, that video had more happen on it than anything almost probably in my career. I think 40,000 people saw that video.
So isn't that amazing?
It was amazing.
And you mentioned Neil Eckstein. He also did the cover art for your album, didn't he?
He did the photo. He did the photo on the back. You're right. Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's our photographer. He does a lot of good photos for us. He has a good studio. He wasn't happy where we recorded all of this, although that song, The Fence, we did record at his studio too. So,
Cozy, as you may already know, is from the Concord area, right? Didn't you live here for quite a bit?
I grew up here from the time I was a little girl, and I, you know, my folks lived here all their lives. So, I, you know, for the past, 54 years, I've been in and out of Concord, yeah.
There's a bit of a homecoming happening on January 24th over at the New Hampshire Audubon McLean Center. We'll tell you more about that, but how about a tune?
Yeah, Charlie, let's do, because we just did The Fence, let's do The Dandelion, actually. This is going to have a little bit of explanation while I tune my guitar. This song was inspired by reading an article in some paper about 5 years ago about phytonutrients, which are the things that make bitterness in greens, but it's also what makes it really good for us. And I found the article so fascinating that, number one, I went out and cut some dandelions. I was living in Utah at the time. I cut some dandelions from my backyard and cooked them for dinner because I was told that dandelions had a lot of phytonutrients. And it turns out it's hard to cook dandelions well. but I did eat them, and I took a photo on my phone so I'd have proof that I'd cooked these dandelions. And then I spent 5 years trying to write this song, being able to remove the word phytonutrient from the song, because I knew that would not be a good idea. So this is called, I guess it's called Bitter is Better for You.
Let us consider the lettuce. It's not as healthy as they said. Like certain anxious dogs, it's a little overbred. They made it as sweet as they can. That's what sells at a produce stand. Turns out something bitter is better for you. Oh, the rabbits and the woodchucks have known it all along. They're not getting into your garbage. They are out there in your lawn. When the world feels like a deadly place, eat something we can't erase. You want to survive, eat the dandelion. If you want to make it up the hill, eat something we cannot kill. They want to give you one more pill. Get down in the dirt, maybe you will find a treat you can admire, a living thing that won't expire. Times are dire, eat the dandelion. Oh, the world will come to get you in oh so many ways. Complicated chemicals rounding out our days. Kraft, Cheetos, stuff like that's gonna make you stupid, make you fat, and I'll tell you where your health is at. Go out and eat the yard. If you wanna make it up the hill, eat something we cannot kill. They wanna give you one more pill. Get down in the dirt, maybe you will find a trait you can admire, a living thing that won't expire. Times are dire, eat the dandelion. It's bitter, it's true. Turns out bitter is better for you. If you wanna make it up the hill, eat something we cannot kill. They wanna give you one more pill. Get down in the dirt, maybe you will find a treat you can admire, a living thing that won't expire. Times are dire, eat the dandelion. times are dire, eat the dandelion.
Bitter is better from Cozy Sheridan and Charlie Koch here on The Folk Show. I remember you just reminded me that my mother had me eating some dandelion greens. And
she said,
eat them right up. But she said, they've got a lot of iron in them. And I said, after tasting them, I said, I know I bit into it. I think it hadn't been washed appropriately. So we've got a show coming up on January 24th. It's a Thursday night. It's part of the Birds and Beans Coffee House series over at the New Hampshire Audubon McLean Center. I just love the name of that, Birds and Beans
Birds
Coffee
and
House.
Beans,
They've
yeah.
had some really fine performances there. And that'll you can add yours to the list on the 24th. McLean Center, that's in Concord. You're familiar with the McLean Center.
I am. And in fact, I grew up next to Susan McLean. She was our neighbor. And when I was a little girl, and my mom couldn't always be around to take care of me, I would be sent across the street to have lunch with Susan McLean, who asked me, would you like to have your dessert first? I love going to her house because she let you have dessert first. So, yeah, and I love that I'm going to play there because, you know, Susan McLean was like, she was like my other grandmother across the street. She was really sweet. I loved visiting her. So, yeah, it's kind of a small world.
I just love that you have that connection, Cozy. Mm-hmm. Let's take a short break and then we'll come back and visit some more with Cozy Sheridan and Charlie Koch.
You know, mornings can define the rest of your entire day. Find $5 you forgot about in your pocket. It's going to be a good day. Spill your coffee all over yourself. Probably going to be a bad one. But when you begin your day with Morning Edition, you start fully awake with the latest and most important news to prepare you for whatever comes next. Take control of your day. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Support for NHPR comes from listeners like you and from the New Hampshire Liquor and Wine Outlets, presenting Wine Week, January 21st through 27th. A listing of wine tastings and events at nhwineweek.com. Cozy Sheridan and Charlie Koch are going to be over at the New Hampshire Audubon Society's McLean Center at the Birds and Beans Coffee House on January 24th at 7 o'clock. It's our pleasure to have them here in the studio. And so the tune that you just played, Bitter is Better, that hasn't been recorded yet, is that right?
It hasn't. I've been writing, we've been writing, both of us, but that's some new tunes I've been working on, yeah. You know, there is another CD in the works eventually, although, you know, they're taking CD players out of cars, you know, it's hard to know.
No way.
They are. And people rent cars now, they have no CD player in them, so but anyway, we're writing songs no matter.
You know, interestingly, I went to buy a bag of coffee the other day in a store, and they only sell in this store, they seem to only sell the little plastic cups.
Oh, yeah, just those little K-cups.
Yeah.
I know. And that's, they box you in with.
It's a little nutty. So first the CDs and then the coffee.
I know.
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
So, Charlie, you've been writing a lot too, haven't you?
A fair amount.
And you just came out with your own CD not that long ago.
I made my first CD with Cozy's help. Was it about 3-4 years ago?
It was before this. So he made it right before we made The Fence of the Neighbor.
Yeah, I had a solo CD, which I never would have made without Cozy helping me. Yeah.
Although you probably
because I never get anything done on my own. So.
Right.
But Kate probably saw it because it was sent to the radio after The Fence. So
right,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
That's right. I decided to send it out because otherwise nobody would have heard it.
It was living in our basement, so we thought it should go somewhere else. Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't really that new, but it was new.
No,
to
it wasn't
us.
Brand new.
It's
yeah,
new to us.
It's new to the world.
Right.
Yeah.
So how is that being married and collaborating the way you do?
It's wonderful, really. I mean, it's just wonderful.
We made this CD together, The Fence of My Neighbor, and that was I think it gave me the confidence that we could do those sort of things together and have a good time, and it wasn't going to ruin the relationship.
Right.
You know, because sometimes you bring business in enough that it's troublesome, but I find that Charlie and I really connect on the artistic level in a lovely way.
That was a good answer, by the way, Charlie.
Was that good?
That's a really good answer.
And it was, he said it before I could saw him. He got in there before I had a statement. It was really well done, Charlie.
I thought about it after I said it, and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't ask those questions. So I'm glad to hear that it's going really well.
It is, yeah.
How long have you folks been married now?
We got married in 2014. So,
wow.
Yeah, we're getting we're almost five, I think we're going to be 5 years maybe this
goodness.
Year. Yeah, yeah.
You're
kind
almost,
of exciting.
Yeah,
I know. Well, we're going to be a metals or something here, or bamboo or something, yeah. whatever it is when you start to get numbers. Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Other tunes that you are considering to put on your new album. I know that you did put some of your. Wasn't Persephone's Wedding on a previous recording?
It wasn't, but Persephone has shown up. The word Persephone, I have Persephone in a lot of songs. That was a modern.
And Demeter, too. Demeter in
Demeter,
the underworld.
Demeter and the underworld. See, I use those names. A lot because I'm just so into the myth of
right.
Persephone and Demeter.
Sure.
And yeah, Demeter in the Underworld was for my mom, but Persephone in the Underworld, Persephone's Wedding was for a wedding that I actually went to where the, uh-huh. Where the bride and groom were so Persephone and Hades like that I thought I have to write this. But a song we're going to possibly put on the other one, and we're not actually as committed about it. Well, no, let's do The Dishes, Charlie, because we really are. And we were talking about my mother and
do
Susan McLean. We're going to do The Dishes. This song, you know, I've been writing songs since I was, 19 or 20, and my, various parts of my relationship with my parents has been written about, and that I've written songs about, and you know now my folks are both gone. This song I wrote last Mother's Day. Whoops, except I'm still in part of open tuning, and. As I, when I was writing it, I was, Charlie and I had issues with dishes. And, you know, we're a couple that met each other halfway through the movie, as it were. You know, we'd established our domestic habits. And mostly they dovetail really well. But the one place they didn't is the sink, the kitchen sink. And when you do dishes and who should do dishes and should you be standing next to someone keeping them company while they're doing the dishes? Do you need to dry all the dishes while they're being made? Can you use the dishwasher? Do you have to take turns? Do you have to wash dishes after each meal, or can you leave them overnight? All these little questions sort of came up. And I kept having trouble with it. Charlie came from a family with 10 children, and then he raised 4 daughters. So rules in the kitchen work for him. I've been pretty much a single person or just in a relationship with another human all my life, so I'm a little bit of a feral animal in the kitchen because it never mattered. You know, one person doesn't matter what you do. So anyway, I kept wondering why I was trying to die on the hill of dishes, and this is what I came up with. Dishes in the sink, it bothers you a lot. It would be better if I did not leave dishes in the sink. I think we agree. The sink means one thing to you and another to me. I leave dishes in the sink. My mother was a housewife, trapped in a time that said, here is your life in dishes and cleaning. She found little meaning, but my mother stood at the sink. And you'd think the dishwasher could make our problems go away, but I remember my mother. Every day she would reach and bend, load and unload again. My mother stood at the sink, 'cause she was married to a man who was raised to think that what he did all day meant he didn't have to stand at the sink or the dustpan or the broom. My mother taught me every day, you clean one room. So I built myself a life with few dishes to do, 'cause when I stand at the sink, it's like she's standing there too. And I fall on my knees and I praise the day that I can leave the sink and walk away. One dish,
one room. One day after another, I leave dishes in the sink to rescue my mother.
Cozy Sheridan and Charlie Koch here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Is the name of that Do the Dishes?
You know, that song, because we haven't recorded, I haven't had to commit to a title. Okay. When I write it down on a song list, it just says Dishes. Mm-hmm. I might just call it that. I'm not really sure. Yeah. It seems to connect to a lot of women when I sing it.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, that song was one of those songs where I discovered something as I was writing it. I had no idea that it was about rescuing my mother until I wrote the line down. Mm-hmm. And that's why I keep writing songs, because I get these moments of revelation that are just, for me, you know, worth it, that they're like the whole thing.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and we're going to take a short break and come back and visit some more with Cozy Sheridan and Charlie Koch.
New Hampshire Public Radio listeners are educated, engaged, and digitally savvy. As an NHPR underwriter, your business can reach this digital audience through our many podcasts, our e-newsletters, or at our award-winning news site, nhpr.org. Learn how you can reach the best and brightest online community in New Hampshire and beyond by visiting the business support page at nhpr.org/underwrite.
Support for NHPR comes from listeners like you and Vital Communities, celebrating 25 years of bringing people together to create positive change in the Upper Valley. Learn more at vitalcommunities.org. This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guests in the studio are Cozy Sheridan and Charlie Koch. They have a show coming up on January 24th at the New Hampshire Audubon McLean Center at the Birds and Beans Coffee House. It's part of their series over there here in Concord. And that show starts at 7 o'clock on Thursday, the 24th. Cozy and Charlie have been working really hard writing tunes together and maybe working on a new CD sometime soon. Mm-hmm. But we're very fortunate right now to have them in the studio. So what would you like to play next, Cozy?
Well, we thought we'd do another song. This is something we wrote together. Charlie helped me a lot on the music for the chorus. This song is, you know, because here we are in what's going on with the longest, you know, a government shutdown in history. And this song, I've been writing this for probably almost 2 years. And the song has changed so much dramatically about trying to address some part of what's happening in our country myself. And the song changed dramatically when I saw this article about the fact that there are some elephants being born now without their tusks. And this piece of information showed up when I had put the song aside for quite a while, because I couldn't get beyond just, you know, sort of haranguing the world or having all my ideas about how to change it. And that just seemed, I can't tell you why, but it was sort of like a little piece of left field concept that just sort of came in. So
I've been writing a song about what's going on. Maybe you've been writing one too, about the fall of the West, the unwelcome guests, the whole damn mess, and what will we do? But my song kind of fell apart, 'cause it was angry, it had no heart. I dropped it into the mud at the bottom of the pond. And that's when they arrived with the news of how to survive. It was a surprise. The elephants walked into the song. The evolution of the elephant. Babies born without a tusk. Unexpected arrival. A means of survival. Something going on we can trust. Something's going on we can trust. What the elephants have to survive is us. And we have to survive us too. It's interesting what the deeper mind at the bottom of the pond is helping the elephant do. The evolution of the elephant. Baby's born without a tusk. Unexpected arrival, a means of survival. Something going on we can trust. Something going on we can trust. 'Cause every day the cannon they roll into range and we fall. The world continues to riot. My broken heart can't keep up with it all. All of this is seen by the god in the machine. The blood spilled for the elephant tusk. At the bottom of the pond, things move slow. The arc is long, but maybe there is something going on that we can trust. The evolution of the elephant. Babies born without a tusk. Unexpected arrival, a means of survival. Something's going on we can trust. Something's going on we can trust. Something's going on we can trust. Oh, the elephant tusk.
Because he said it took a couple years to actually write that tune. Elephants.
Yeah, I think we call it the evolution of the elephant. I'm not really sure. And that song is, I keep taking it out and putting it back and taking it out and putting it back. I feel a little like the seams still show in that song. Some songs I feel like the seams don't show. I still feel like I can kind of feel where we stitched it together. But it's the closest approximation that I can come up with, and Charlie seems to be okay with, about how, you know, I view or we view, you know, what might radical These thing changes. You might have to do to change.
I like the line, the bottom of the pond.
I got that from, you know, the man who wrote, the man who mistook his wife for the hat. Oliver Sacks. Uh-huh. He writes about brains and how they work, and he wrote this piece that was in a, I get this newsletter called Brain Pickings online, and it's really interesting ideas to think about. And this one was about the fact, I think, that Oliver Sacks said, if you have a creative idea, you need to let it fall into your unconscious, the bottom of your pond, and let it get lost there until it is brought back by your unconscious with other stuff attached to it that you would not have logically attached to it. And I love that idea. And I think that's true in a lot of I teach a lot of songwriting, and often people say, well, I want to make this point. And, you know, I have this song and I know it wants to say that. And I have to sort of, you know, let them do what they do. But, it, you know, if you really know what you're going to, it's not necessarily a creative act to say, I'm going to do that. It's almost more of a construction. And it's not that it's not creative, but art happens often because it happened without your conscious thought being able to control it. You know, a lot of your unconscious was involved in it. And that's what I feel the bottom of the pond is talking about. I don't know if I said that very well.
That requires a lot of patience as a songwriter, doesn't it?
Well, that's why that song took 2 years. I have songs that take a long time. My songs take often a long time just because I keep waiting for that thing that feels like, oh, that was... Now that came from the bottom of the pond, and that's going to make this song make work.
That perfect piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio, and Cozy Sheridan and Charlie Coke are guests. Their show is January 24th at the New Hampshire Audubon McLean Center in Concord, and the show starts at 7 o'clock, part of the Birds and Beans Coffee House series. About the album, My Fence and My Neighbor, Kent Allen was on this release, wasn't he?
He was, and he's going to be with us at the show in January. He and I have been collaborating since 1989, so we have a long-time musical partnership. And when Charlie appeared on the scene, he and Charlie and Kent really bonded. And so we have this great little trio. So, yeah, he's wonderful. He's an amazing talent. Kent's amazing.
So the evening at the Birds and Beans will include some old favorite Cozy tunes,
mm-hmm,
and some Charlie tunes. Do you get to add some of your tunes,
Charlie?
I think
we're just doing the trio song that night, but you never know. You might get a jazzy tune in there.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might happen.
It's up to my boss.
We haven't made the set list yet, but we'll see. Yeah.
That's awesome. So 7 o'clock on January 24th. And about that new CD, I know this one's still pretty fresh. This came out in April
right. And
just exploded on the folk DJ charts in May. But when you think about creating another CD, do you have a design in mind or what you're going to put on it? Besides the Bitter is Better and
The Dishes and the Dandelion. Charlie and I are still talking about whether we would do another collaboration. So Charlie has some amazing songs he's been writing. So we might do another one of that. It works well for us because, we tour together. And if we're playing songs in a concert, people can just buy that one CD, then have to buy two. And I sort of feel like it that might be what happened, so it might be some of his. And I'm still writing my songs, so I would say it'll probably be, the fall before I would be able to look ahead and say, I got some songs that, are really... And I'm starting to realize that sometimes making just a little thing on the internet of me singing it, gives me a lot of, we do have that other, it's a little bit rough, but can we try The Daffodil? Just give it a go, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's just give it a go. This song was written because a friend of mine gave me a photo of 6 pomegranate seeds with a daffodil next to it because he knows I love the myth of Persephone. And it was early in the fall that he gave it to me, and I brought it home and I put it on the wall in my office and I kept looking at it and I kept seeing the 6 pomegranate seeds, but what I really kept looking at was that daffodil. And I wrote this.
Here we go down again, around again, goodbye, hello. The daffodils will be waiting to welcome you home in spring. We go down to the dark when the winter is king. The daffodils, they are planted all over the yard. Little pockets of hope when the winter is cold and hard. The daffodils will be waiting to welcome you home in spring. The loss of the light, it's a frightening thing. And I know your heart is tired from all the loss we learn. The daffodils are certain happiness can return. Here we go down again, around again, goodbye, hello. The daffodils, they are resting till the world comes round again. The sturdy bulb of patience makes every season its friend. There's nothing to fear in the dark if you know how to sleep and dream. The daffodils will be waiting when all that is gray turns green. Here we go down again, around again, goodbye, hello. Here we go down again, around. Bye. Hello.
Cozy Sheridan and Charlie Koch in our studio at New Hampshire Public Radio with a tune that hasn't been recorded officially until now.
That was pretty much it, and as you could see, we're still remembering how it works.
Did you ever notice how daffodils just kind of show up in the spring? And it's like, hello, I'm back.
Yep, it's okay. You're going to survive. I know. I just think they're the happiest flower. I love them.
Yeah, they're so great.
I love them. They're like a sign of hope.
So we have dandelions.
Daffodils and dishes. It's the DCD if we make one. Right? Daffodils, dandelions. When I finally wrote the song Elephant, I thought E. I thought, oh, we're moving on. All right. So the next one will need to be an F song.
Right. Well, you've got the fence.
I've got
right?
the fence. But for the next one, I'll need a new F, I guess. Right. I'm working on a song called The Art of Leaving Things Behind, and that's not an F song. But, oh, well, that's where I went.
Yeah. Well, this is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and the show is on January 24th. It's a Thursday night at 7 o'clock, part of the Birds and Beans Coffee House series over at the New Hampshire Audubon McLean Center in Concord. Cozy, when you're not recording and all that, you're touring a little bit and teaching as well. Is that right? Are you still teaching?
That's right. Yep. I teach at a lot of adult music camps. In fact, I'll be teaching in New Hampshire this summer at Summer Acoustic Music Week up on Geneva Point on Lake Winnipesaukee.
And will you head back out west to the Moab Center?
Yep. We'll be running Moab Folk Camp. Yep. That's in October 28th. Through November 1 out in Moab. Charlie teaches, I teach. We're going to have Susie Burke and David Surrett coming this year.
That's
so those
great.
Are local names people know. Yeah, they're going to come
out.
Super
duper. So what else do we need to make sure people know about?
Well, the only other really exciting thing that we're doing is we're part of a raft trip down the Snake River in Idaho in July.
Wow.
Where that people can join us. It's on our website. And I've never done it. Somebody asked, would you...
You've never done it, and you're going to lead it.
Well, we don't lead it. Well, we're the musicians on it.
Oh, okay.
But they tell us, tell your people who listen to your music. So we play music at night. But I've never done it, and I thought, I'm a little frightened about it. I'm writing a song about the fact that if you're a little worried about the rapids, I'm a little worried too.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have a guitar on the raft.
They say they can put them in a dry bag, so
okay.
We're going to give it a go. But anyway, that's the thing we're most kind of, thinking about. The newest thing is, this week on the Snake River. The Salmon River, sorry.
Salmon.
The Salmon River in Idaho, that's right, yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think
how long is the trip?
5 days.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun.
So you've got something that keeps you warm in the winter. It's those thoughts of the summer.
Yeah, the daffodils and the raft trip.
I sure do appreciate you coming in to
Thanks
see us.
Thanks for having
it's
us.
It's always such a treat to have you come.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Would you want to play one last tune?
Yeah, I thought we'd go out in something a little less serious because you and I were talking about the lighting here in the bathroom. So
yeah.
Here's this song, let's see, I wrote this song, oh boy. Quite a while ago. This was inspired when I hired a consultant to come watch me perform one night, and she called me up the next morning to give me her assessment over the phone. And mind you, when this happens, I'm probably in my late 30s. So she calls me up the next morning, she gives me her assessment, and she says, "Well, I like your songs, and I like what you're wearing, but it looks like you just gave up from the neck up." And I was so inspired by that statement that I went down to the basement to write what I call the theme song to the Midlife Crisis Tour. This is the Botox Tango. So we'll go out on this. Ready, Charlie?
I am thinking of getting injected. Gravity's heavier than I expected. And it's pulling things out of place. My skin is getting longer than my face. And it's pulling in the creases. Although my vigilance never ceases. With the emollients and the greases, I am a puzzle losing its pieces. And the cracks are slowly growing between my tectonic plates. Continental drift for man or woman never waits. And there's no point in self-deceiving. Like Australia, part of me is leaving. More facial definition and a somewhat stronger chin. Now I'd be happy with just a remission of this loss of collagen. You can put your fears to rest. I won't be getting any in the chest. It wouldn't solve any problems at all and just give me two more things to fall. So I am thinking of getting injected. I'm getting older sooner than I expected.
Thanks, Cozy and Charlie, for stopping by.
Thank you, Kate.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, and while we send Cozy and Charlie on their way, let's give away a pair of tickets for the show for the Birds and Beans Coffee House series. Be the first one to call 603-513-7729. I'll give you a pair of tickets for the New Hampshire Audubon's Birds and Beans Coffee House on January 24th at 7 o'clock. Just be the first caller, and you can't have won anything in the past month. So dial carefully, and thanks for listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio.